listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Wednesday, the 29th of October, 2025. It's a day where the Australian share market fell by 1%. The S&P ASX 200 at 8,926. We'll have the details with Junbei Liu from 10Cap in a few moments. But first, the Commonwealth Bank is now predicting no more interest rate cuts following today's stronger than expected read on inflation. The Bureau of Statistics says rises in electricity costs, property rates and charges, domestic holidays, along with petrol, drove a 1.3% rise in consumer prices in the September quarter. That's the most in more than 2 years. And it means the annual headline rate surged from 2.1% to 3.2% to be above the RBA's target of 2 to 3%. Even its preferred underlying measure, which strips out one-off moves for a more volatile or less volatile read, hit the top of its band at 3%. So what does it say about the economy and the implication for interest rates? I spoke with Belinda Allen. She's the head of Australian economics at the Commonwealth Bank. Belinda, you're making a bold prediction today following the inflation result. No more RBA interest rate cuts. Why? And what are you seeing in those inflation numbers today to warrant that?
We did see much higher than anticipated inflation in the third quarter. And there was enough in the detail to make us think the Reserve Bank won't cut the cash rate again. So inflation numbers were quite broad-based. So we saw stickiness across a number of categories, from new dwelling construction costs to those areas that have been fueled by stronger consumer spending as well. And when you put that all together, we're now actually seeing 50% of the inflation basket record price gains of above 3%. It had been falling and it's now re-accelerated. So we just think it is going to take restrictive interest rates here in Australia to get inflation back on track.
Where are we seeing these inflationary pressures, if you go into a bit more detail about that?
So a lot of the areas that we've seen stronger inflation has been in areas where we've seen stronger consumer spending. So travel, recreation, we've seen a pickup in childcare as well. And the commentary from the ABS was that's because of stronger operating costs, which is a wages growth story as well. So the way to think about it is over the last 6 months, we have seen a cyclical improvement in the Australian economy. That's been driven by improvements in consumer spending. We're now seeing prices react to that. So some of this is because of the end of energy rebates. Some of this is because of stronger petrol prices. But a lot of it is also because the spending environment's been better. And we do suspect it's allowed businesses to pass on some high costs that we know they've been facing in previous years.
So in other words, because the consumer is becoming more confident and willing to spend, businesses are taking advantage of that?
They're not necessarily taking advantage of that, but it has been a stronger demand environment. And we know that operating costs for businesses have risen in recent years. And because the demand environment's improved, they're now starting to pass on some of those high costs back to consumers. And as you know, we've seen, consumer spending has been stronger over the last 6 months, really driven by lower interest rates, moderating inflation, and a lower tax take as well. That's all led to improvements in the economy, and we're still expecting that to occur next year, even with just one less rate cut now in our forecast profile.
The other thing we haven't spoken about, though, is the jobs market, right? The unemployment rate is rising at the same time. Isn't there a fear that jobs will go and then thus support the need for a rate cut?
It's a really interesting, I guess, dilemma that we're seeing in the economic data at the moment. So we've seen better economic growth, sticky inflation, and softer employment growth. We do generally still think the labour market is on solid footings. The slowdown in employment growth we've seen in recent months really reflects the weak economic activity we saw a year ago. So we think we're kind of at the tail end of that slowdown in the labour market. But it does mean the Reserve Bank does have a conundrum if we see further lifts in the unemployment rate. And that's obviously still a risk for our view. If you do see a material deviation in the unemployment rate from here and some moderation in inflation, you could actually see interest rates come down, but it's not our base case. We generally think at the moment inflation and the Reserve Bank are an inflation-fighting central bank, and you would have to see that continue to be their thought process from here.
Final question. So at the November board meeting then from the RBA, what will you be looking out to hear from them, especially as we head into that all-important Christmas spending season?
So given the inflation data we did get today, we do think the Reserve Bank will really frame the commentary on Tuesday next week as being a little bit more hawkish. They're really going to have to talk up the fact that they don't want to fight inflation again. We heard that just a couple months ago from the Reserve Bank, and that they will do what is needed to bring inflation back down. So it looks like it will mean the cash rate will stay high for longer. And I do think that will be the focus at November's board meeting.
That's Belinda Allen there, the head of Australian economics at the Commonwealth Bank. In a few moments, we'll speak with Sally Old, the chief economist at NAB. She thinks rates may still fall, likely in May. But let's take a look at the Australian share market first, where the S&P ASX 200 fell 0.1% to 8,926. As 7 of 11 sectors were lower, the worst performing healthcare, industrial, financial and property stocks. For more on her take on the day's market moves, including some results from Woolworths, I spoke with June Bay Liu, portfolio manager at 10Cap. June Bay, how's the market reacting to today's CPI figures? Because property and bank stocks have taken a tumble and the dollar strengthened. Why?
Yeah, that's right. Look, we just saw the CPI numbers and clearly a little bit more than expected. And that has got everyone taking out the expectations of a rate cut next Melbourne Cup Day rate cut out of the equation. So investors are very disappointed. And then we saw the market pretty much cratered around the time of the CPI came through.
So when is the market expecting a rate cut, if at all?
Yeah, now the market has pretty much taken out all the expectations for next Tuesday, and it's been pushed into February next year. And for the next calendar year, we're looking at about 2 rate cuts to come through.
Okay. Globally, it's an interesting story because we're likely to see rate cuts, right? Because the US Federal Reserve meets later this week. What are the likely market implications?
Yeah, so you know, it's very interesting. Fed is going to have rate cuts, and then we're and most of the economists are expecting between 4 and 5 rate cuts over the next 12 to 18 months for Fed. What that means is that you know, that will give a bit of boost to the economy. Remember, they did put up a lot more rates than we have, so they have a lot more room to move, and then they are going lower much quicker. So you will see you know, a bit, hopefully a little bit more strengthening in the Australian dollar. A little bit more weakness for the US dollars.
Two companies that I'd like to talk about today, if we can. Woolies, saying it posted quarterly sales of $18.5 billion, which is what it says is below its own aspirations. Food prices continues to fall at the supermarket operator as it tries to win back trust. What's your take?
My take is that, look, it was a very disappointing first quarter result. In fact, the second part of the first quarter number seems to have gone worse compared to the first couple of months that they already told the market. So it was very disappointing compared to, you know, early days. What Coles has talked to, it certainly is conceding, losing market share to Coles. Now, we will hear from Coles tomorrow on the latest update, but it certainly seems like they continue to lose share. However, Woolworth did say in October things have improved. So if you take out tobacco sales, the comp sale has now improved to 5%. So maybe some of the strategy it's put in place is now start to work, or maybe consumer just feeling a little bit more confident.
I know you've spoken about CSL in the past, so I want to talk about CSL now because shares have tumbled 40% so far this year. Losses accelerated today following yesterday's warning of lower sales because fewer people are being vaccinated in the US. CSL was once a market darling. What's happened?
Look, this is one example of a growth company no longer have growth drivers and have investors doubt where its growth drivers going to come from. Now, CSL has came through with another downgrade. That's after many in the last 2 years. After just reassuring investors everything was fine and it was one-off in the previous 6 months. Now, they came through with a 4% downgrade to earnings. And then they, even though they talk about it's the flu, blamed on the flu business, it hasn't talked about the weakness within its current bearing, which is a core business, the IVIG business. So investors are a little bit skeptical on what it means for this company when a growth company is no longer growing. We're just not sure how to fix it. And the current management has been in place for the last many years with all these downgrades. So there is also, a bit of uncomfortable cause for whether there should be management changes.
Okay, and finally, what are you telling your clients right now? Where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Even though we talked about some of those companies that hasn't done very well today. But look, Australian share market actually is looking pretty strong. CPI number is actually one example to show that our economy is doing well. Our consumer is actually doing well. Yes, we won't get a rate cut next week, but we will next year. So net-net, our economy is trekking along fine. Our market is not as expensive as the Nasdaq. So all of that just means we will have a Santa rally moving into positive month, November, December, and it's looking pretty strong for our market.
Jun Beilu there from Ten Cap. Let's return now to that inflation number rising to 3.2%, the headline rate. Well, the Commonwealth Bank now thinks that official interest rates will not be cut any further as a result of these numbers. Economists at NAB still think there might be one more rate cut, likely in May. To tell us more about her views and her take on the inflation numbers, I spoke with Sally Old, the chief economist at NAB. Sally, first of all, how would you describe the inflationary environment at the moment?
So a little bit stronger than expected would be the short answer. And I think what we observed today is a genuine breadth in inflation. And, often each quarter there are things that go up, there are things that go down. But when we look at what happened in the third quarter of 2025, what we observe is pretty much across most components, we did see a breadth of price rises. So all in all, a pretty strong quarter for inflation.
Is the trend likely to be higher, though? Because we know that that headline rate is at 3.2% annually. The trimmed mean is at 3%. But when you look at the monthly indicator, it's higher than that. It's at 3.5. So what's the general direction and why do you think that is?
Yeah, that's right. So we sort of knew that the headline number would come back up again. So there's less of a surprise there. And that's really a story around what's happening with electricity rebates. So electricity prices were actually up 9% in the quarter. And that's because many of those rebates in different states actually finished. So that part of the story is not unexpected. I guess, what is interesting and maybe a little bit troubling in the near term is that parts of the inflation basket, which typically exhibit persistence, so when they start moving in one direction, they continue to move in that direction, look like they're on the move. And so housing would be a good example, especially the cost of building a new dwelling. But then also a component called market services inflation. And so as the August monthly inflation indicator suggested, those two things came in pretty solid for the quarter. So what it does look like is that on the core measures, if we look at the annual rates, it does look like core inflation is going to sit a little bit above 3% for the next couple of quarters, so above the top of the RBA's 2-3% target band. And then I think the really interesting question is what happens after that. So in our forecast, at least, we do have inflation eventually getting back to the midpoint of the target band. But I think we're pretty cognizant that that's now going to take a little bit longer than we thought, maybe even a couple of months ago.
So what kind of challenge is this posed for the Reserve Bank? Because it wants to keep inflation low and stable while retaining job gains. But at the same time, that unemployment rate is rising.
Yeah, that's right. So that's their dual mandate. So you've got to aim for sort of low and stable inflation, sort of anchored around the midpoint of the target band. And then at the same time, also try and keep the economy pretty close to full employment. And as you said, in the last couple of weeks, what we've learned is that actually, the bank has moved further away on both of those objectives. So inflation is a bit higher than they would have liked. And then also the unemployment rate has gone up a little bit. I think, you know, we heard from the governor on Monday night where she basically said, look, we're not going to overreact just to 1 month's worth of labour market data. So we do know that there is a sort of underlying month-to-month volatility in those numbers. And so therefore, you know, I think they're going to wait, you know, probably for another couple of releases before they firm up their judgment on what's going on in the labour market. But I do think they'll take today's inflation numbers pretty seriously. And so what this means is that I think it's going to take them at least another couple of quarters before they probably exhibit any sort of confidence or comfort that they think that inflation is actually sort of back to being on the right trajectory.
So if it's going to take them that long in wrapping up, what does it likely mean then for a November board meeting and indeed future meetings? When could we see a rate cut, or could these types of numbers even mean that we've seen the end of rate cuts?
Yeah, that's right. So that's sort of what the market's grappling with at the moment. I mean, our view at NAB is that we do think they're on hold for a good 6 months, so that they're not going to be cutting rates at next week's November board meeting, and very unlikely to be doing it before the end of the year. And so we do have one final rate cut penciled into our forecast, but that's not until May of next year. And I think that's going to require the bank to get, you know, confident that actually after this little sort of blip in inflation around third quarter, fourth quarter, it is again back on a sustainable trajectory towards 2.5%. And it's also going to require evidence that, you know, maybe, you know, we don't have to worry about the labour market being too tight, and that generally it's at a point of equilibrium. But I think it's now really sort of dependent on the data to sort of justify the need for a further easing. But one thing we can be pretty sure of is that that easing is not a story for 25 and probably not a story until the second quarter of 2026.
Final question, how do you explain to the average person then that's expecting further rate cuts, that have been struggling with cost of living pressures, why we're not seeing these any more rate cuts and there's a threat that this could be done?
Yeah, I think we just have to understand that, you know, these inflation numbers will really give the Reserve Bank pause for thought. And I guess what they're telling the bank is that maybe there's a little bit more persistence or resiliency in the inflation story than they had been expecting. And so for that reason, it means that I think mortgage holders are probably just going to have to be a little bit more patient. And we just have to hope that if we have a slightly longer period of policy that's a little bit restrictive, that that'll ultimately be enough to get inflation back on track. And if economy is growing close to trend and we've got full employment and the RBA is comfortable that inflation's on the right trajectory, then I think that then opens the door to a further easing. But we might just have to wait a little bit longer than we thought.
Is this an Australia-only problem? Because we've got central banks meeting around the world right now. It looks like the US will cut. How is Australia placed if Australia's potentially on hold for a while? We're seeing these other global central banks cutting rates.
Yeah, sure. So US situation's probably a little bit different. So they've got some idiosyncratic things going on there where maybe inflation's being held up a little bit as we see some of the pass-through from the shift in tariff policy. But also they've got a labour market that does look like it is, you know, quite a bit weaker today relative to where it was 6 or 9 months ago. And that's really the sort of dominant driver of rate cuts in the US. Here in Australia, you know, I think the Reserve Bank is, you know, still of the view that the labour market is doing okay. So that's not really providing much of a trigger or a signal for them at this point to do anything. And I think they're also a little bit worried that when they look around in other countries, one thing they do observe is that services inflation has been quite sticky. And that hasn't been the case in the first half of the year here in Australia, but services inflation has popped higher in the third quarter. So they will be maybe starting to question whether actually it was the first half that was giving them the wrong signal, and maybe we're no different to everyone else. And I think if that's the conclusion they arrive at, then that definitely cements this idea that they're on hold probably for the next couple of quarters.
It is Sally Old there, the Chief Economist at NAB, and she wraps up the podcast for this Wednesday. Don't forget, if you enjoy it, give it a rating and review, would you, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and click subscribe. I'll see you tomorrow.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.